So people get into this phase of, I'm just going to drop it off, have someone touch it, do it. I don't have to worry about it, come back and pick it up. And that it continues to increase with wash, dry, fold, people wanting to use a phone app, people not wanting to use quarters. And that demographic changes daily on the value of people don't want to do what the old laundries used to do.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Mike Worthy is the VP of Equipment Sales for the oldest and largest commercial laundry distributor in the Mid-South, Central Laundry Equipment. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, Mike. The pleasure is mine. I think this is the first time I've had anybody come on the show and talk about laundry. If anybody who's listening to this knows, we are going long in the laundry business. And so I think this is right. A lot of fun. I'm glad to have you on today, Mike. There are three questions, though, that I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 sure. seconds or less. Can you tell me, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Okay, so our company started back in the mid-80s when everyone had mullets and parachute pants and listening to Duran Duran. So we've been around for a long time. We started out also owning some small laundry operations, and we soon found out you can't own an operation and compete with your customers. And so for the last 38 years or so, we've been totally independent, providing everything from commercial laundry to hotels, motels, vended laundries, hospitals and hotels. And I've been doing this for, good gosh, over 20 years. And so had a lot of fun and enjoyed the ride.
Man, that's cool. Well, tell me, I mean, is now a good time to be in the laundry business?
It is, if you do it right. That the key is, it's always a good time to get in business and expand your portfolio, but do you do it right? And do you have the right advice from the right people? So yes, absolutely. Great time.
Well, let's talk about what do it right might entail. I mean, there's we see unlimited opportunity in I think in our space, which we're in the retail, you know, we're in the retail laundry space. So right. we do the self-serve, we do drop-off, we do delivery, yep. all of those things, and I see unlimited opportunity to acquire stores and then go do it right. But I want to hear from you, because you get to see all across the country, all different types Absolutely. Of laundry facilities. What does do it right mean for you?
So it's every case is a case by case basis. Okay. That's the key. You can't just use a universal cookie cutter and says what works in Dallas is going to work in Marion, Arkansas, for example. So everyone is a case by case basis. And the key to everything is getting as much information as you can from a reputable distributor. And so there's a long listing of things that you look for in distributors, but the key is getting good advice, doing your research, and getting as much research as you can. But boots on the ground is also equally important.
Okay, so boots on the ground, but so you say on a case by case basis, let's look at some of these cases. Give me maybe two different case studies and how they would differ.
Okay, so for example, suppose we're talking in a large town that has laundries for sale. Mm-hmm. So just because a laundry's for sale doesn't mean that it's a great idea or a great investment. It could be, but there's a reason that it's for sale to begin with. And there's a long list of scenarios that something could be for sale. But as a business person, if I've got a business and it's doing well, why do I want to sell it? There's always that why. There's always underlying things that's being sold because the equipment doesn't work, or it's outdated, or they can't get service, or the equipment's obsolete. So there's a long list of things that you look for sure. But you also have that equal opportunity if you want to buy your own property, build your own laundry, kind of custom tailor it to your needs. So we've got people that start from a ground up situation. We just had a great success story in South Arkansas. $1 million plus laundry that built from the ground up all the way to 16-foot ceiling fans and floors that look like the ocean to, hey, I'm just buying something and I'm just going to re-equip it and try to get my profits up. So a lot of different scenarios, and everyone is different.
Everyone is different. And I think that's the fun part about it is that you have to determine what the right store needs in a particular location.
Yes.
But let's talk about the why sell scenario. I have this theory that the average laundromat owner is getting older. At least is what we're seeing on the stores we're acquiring. They're getting older. They are still taking coins. A lot of the stores we're buying don't have a website. They don't have a phone line. They don't do pickup and delivery. Nope. I mean, and the list goes on, you know, the store we just bought, the guy was telling me all about how to do a bearing overhaul on a machine. And I just kind of looked at him and I'm like, no, I don't want to know how to do that.
No, you do not. It is not fun.
No, and a poor use of their time. So I'm seeing this shift in ownership from older to younger, which is, makes sense because the model they have built is unscalable or unsustainable rather.
No, you've nailed it right on the head. And what you're also seeing is that the days of the small laundry will be coming to a close sooner or later, maybe not in the particular town that you're in or someone else may be in. But unfortunately, due to this day and age of COVID and social distancing, people don't want to be cramped in a small laundry. They want to have the amenities of a nice laundry. And I give this example all the time. I'm in my mid-50s and I grew up in the 80s, of course, watching Chevy Chase's Vacation. And you'll hear, and I tell this to everyone, you'll hear a sentence in there that says, I'm so hungry, I could eat a sandwich from a gas station. And that back then you would think of a gas station, you would never eat there. You wouldn't want to use the restroom there. I don't want to stop. But nowadays you see a nice gas station and they've got food and drink and TV and Wi-Fi and all this good stuff. So what our demands are as a consumer has changed for laundry and gas stations and doctor's offices and shopping. And a lot of these people aren't up to speed. And right. You hit it right on the head when you said wash, dry, fold and things to that extent, because I've got a son that's second year of college that doesn't want to do laundry. So people get into this phase of, I'm just going to drop it off, have someone touch it, do it. I don't have to worry about it, come back and pick it up. And that it continues to increase with wash, dry, fold, people wanting to use a phone app, people not wanting to use quarters. And that demographic changes daily on the value of people don't want to do what the old laundries used to do.
I think that's probably the best comparison I have heard. Yet I hadn't put those two together, but you're absolutely right. And you would say, I think previous mentality would have said that the people that want and use laundromats don't demand those amenities, but they do. I mean, we just retooled a store here in Memphis. And I mean, it's like you said, the floors are, you know, everything's new, top to bottom, brand new paint, signage, machineries, or equipment, the payment systems. I mean, it's just, it's a spotless brand new store. The place was a dump before.
Yes. And you get into the stereotypes when you just say the word. Well, first of all, when you say the word coin laundry, it's no longer just coin, but you had that vision of your head of broken equipment and nasty and no air conditioning, and the market's changed because suppose you're a well-off gentleman and you're married and you got three kids and you went to, let's say, Silver Dollar City over the weekend and you have all this laundry. Well, do you want to come home and you guys spend the rest of your Sunday doing laundry, or take it down to a nice laundromat and knock it out in an hour and a half?
Right.
And so the general consumer doesn't want to go to a laundry that's nasty and dirty or unsafe or unlit. Right. And so when you provide those services, you're not only opening up customers that don't have a washer and dryer, but now you've got grandma that spilled something on the comforter, and you've got the kids that don't want to do all the football uniforms. And so your clientele just basically jumps through the roof with the offerings that you can offer as a smart laundry owner.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. On that store in particular, we've doubled revenues in just a few short months. Which is just
very, very doable.
Very doable. Right. So let's talk about that. One of the objections, I was going to say blowback, but that's the wrong word. One of the objections I receive from potential investors is they say, well, if you can do it, and it's so simple, like you just mentioned, lighting, machinery, payment systems, point of sale systems, staffing your stores, you know, increased hours, all those things that we do, they're like, that's anybody can do that. So what prevents somebody else from coming in and putting a store in the corner right next to you? I have an answer for that, but I'd love to hear kind of what your thoughts are on that.
So as a distributor, and I know I stress on this, but the model has changed so much, because in the past, the way the laundry industry worked is you had to be a laundry owner to be able to be a distributor, because you have quotas, just like in any job. You've got a quota, you got to hit your number. Well, if you're not out selling to customers, then the only way you're selling is to yourself. And so that has kind of changed where, hey, manufacturers are looking for a full-fledged distributor, not just an owner, but someone that is that handles everything from a hotel to a vended laundry to a hospital. And so the ownership has changed on what they're looking for. And by ownership, I'm talking about the manufacturers. But when we get into looking to compete with someone, one of the things that we promise is we're not going to put a laundry next to you. If you partner up with us, you've got our word as a vendor of almost 40 years that why do we want to put someone right next to you? Why would we want to put something else you got to worry about too is franchise stores. We're not going to put a franchise store next to you. We're going to make sure that we take care of our customers. And it makes no sense to put, and I know certain areas in Memphis, you can go into a two square mile radius and find 10 laundries. And half of them are all put in by the same person. And four of them are owned by the distributors. So you need to really even out the playing field and really dive into what you're doing. But that's the key of making sure you're finding demographics and a good spot. And as us, we're not going to build against somebody that we just built for.
I think the other side of this, and one of my answers to it, is that the cost to build stores has risen, I mean, incredibly. Incredible.
Well, yeah. And the finance rate just went up too, as you know. So Right. This is, we take the call every day, three or four times a day. Hey, I'd like to get in the laundry business. I've got $5,000. And we do take that. So unfortunately, getting into a business is one of those sayings, you got to have some money to make some money.
Right.
And that's kind of true because some of the bigger investments now are $1 million stores or half a million dollar stores easily.
Easy.
Before you start getting into really a lot of improvements, these are some basic stores that are $400,000 or $500,000 just on equipment.
Right.
And then contractor cost and plumbing, all of that stuff adds up. And sometimes people aren't educated enough to, and I don't mean that badly. I'm saying they don't do their legwork
right. Of
saying, hey, before I buy this property, let me see the demographics. Let me see if there's laundries nearby. And let me make sure if I'm going to put a laundry here, I don't have to bore a drain under a state highway that's going to cost me an extra $20,000 grand.
Right. Right.
So there's a lot of things, and that's the key, is to partner up with someone that's done it, that understands every nuance of how that works.
You're spot on correct. And those are all the answers I give to investors, because we have our clean laundry fund, which is we're going out and acquiring 20 to 25 stores through that fund. And people say, well, why can't just the guy down the street just come out and start a laundromat? Because all the things you just mentioned, one, it's knowing what you're doing. And two, it's just the incredible amount of capital now that it takes to get to build and then furnish a store, completely put all the equipment in a store. I mean, I'm budgeting anywhere from $750 to $1.5 million per store now. I mean,
right.
at the low end, it's $750 to $800. And
easily. And then easy. If you have to build your building, add to that.
Add to that, right. And so I think that's one of the barriers to entry that I personally really like. One, because it's like, it keeps them out, but there's just a natural barrier to entry and getting in the business. And so I think it's good in the sense. The other thing I'm seeing that I think is really good is a sophisticated ownership group entering the space. Tell me what you think about when I say that. What do you think?
So, and that's kind of a loose term because everyone's different, and sophistication is based on someone's own opinion on
for sure.
Where did they get that information. So you get some folks to get some great information, and you get some that, hey, I read it, you know, everything you see on the internet's true and everything you read is true. Yeah, you get some people that get some bad information, and that's the key. That I can't stress that enough is if I'm shopping for a vehicle, I'm going to look at the three or four, five, six different brands, and then I'm going to start looking at dealerships. And in this day and age of point and click and instant gratification through a drive-through or through your phone, sometimes people don't do the research. They right. just say, hey, I found the first guy right here. Here's the first one on Google. I'm going to call him. Oh, he sounded good. And don't do the rest of the research. So there's a lot of underlying things that we see when we say, hey, this group may be great and this group may not be so great, but they both think they're great. And so the key is just using the research that's available at your fingertips.
Right, right. When I say that, one of the things I'm thinking of is that we're just seeing people come to the space that want to do this professionally. They want to mm-hmm. build a replicable, scalable business that serves their customers really well. It goes back to, you know, the rise of the Speedway gas station, talking about things that you know, where it's like, hey, you
right.
get, they're clean, they're well lit. I mean, you can see two gas stations, one across you know, I'm thinking of BP versus, and BP may be coming around, I don't know, but if I think of which one's going to be better lit and more well-equipped, I'm going to say, well, it's going to be a Speedway gas station versus maybe a BP gas station, because maybe
right.
we have different standards. And so what I'm seeing is that same thing in the laundry space, where we're seeing consolidation, ownership groups are buying 10, 20, 30 stores at a time, or you know, in their portfolios rather, versus the just standalone mom and pop owner that, again, you know, is lacking a phone line or a website to
that's correct. And that's not where it's at. So if I'm building a laundry, that's what I'm looking for, is if my competitor's the small little laundry mom and pop. The biggest thing, if I walk into a competitor and there's all these signs that say broken, out of order, that's my key to build.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat.
Build or buy.
Now, and it makes sense, but you've also got to do those demographics. Just because you see the one laundry in town and then you start looking at the number going, well, I'm going to spend $600,000, but the laundry's only going to make $80,000 a year. That's not smart.
No.
And being able to understand the demographics, it's not just let me print something out and hand you a nice portfolio and you figure it out. You have to be able to dive in, do the talk, walk the walk. And then you get into the, you know, then you get into the deep dive of who's the distributor and the service after the sale and the parts and the equipment brand. And it goes on and on. But this is not, we do see a lot of people that have got the right mindset, like you said, but hey, my wife's going to run it in her spare time and I'm a doctor over here. This is not that. This is not the glamour of a Subway or a restaurant. And look at me, you're going to have a baby sock hung in a pump. You're going to have someone lost their money and they're upset. You're going to have, you know, you're going to have a myriad of things that could happen at a laundry, as you can imagine. But this is a hands-on. This is not just I'm going to set it and forget it and go rake up all the money and go buy a new bass boat. And that's where the mentality's been for the last couple of decades.
Right. Yeah. And you said all the things that could go wrong. I'm going to switch that word out and say all the things that will go wrong.
Well, I was being optimistic, but you're right on there. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely, man. And that's the other thing is that you can decide, I think, how operationally complex you want to make it. But even if you're not doing wash, dry, fold, even if you're not doing delivery laundry with drivers and trucks and all that stuff that you can add on, even on just the self-serve side of things, it's still an operationally complex business. And I think that's what people kind of misestimate, is they look to get into this and go, oh my gosh. And we, you know, just have the fortunate pleasure of just kind of learning on the job and having other things going on too. We got into the laundry business kind of by mistake. And then I found out I loved it. I'm like, oh, this is great.
But, oh, it's great. It is fantastic. You meet a lot of nice people. It is one of the things. I mean, we've been doing almost 40. I've been in almost for 20, and I learn something new every day.
Absolutely.
I like coming to work.
I do too, man. I think it's great. There's two things I love about the business. One is that it has excellent margins. And then I think the other side of it is that when you bring an excellent product to market, we get to serve a demographic that's not used to being served in that way.
They're almost shocked of, this is for me? Has air conditioning?
Right.
You know, so many places you walk into, and it's really kind of sad of, how can you expect someone to operate a facility and you don't have heat and air, or you don't have a restroom,
right?
Or you don't have a chair.
Right.
And so you come in and offer someone what they expect, and you go beyond the expectations, and that's your advertising. They will tell people, and then they'll spread the word. They'll post it on Facebook. That's where you're going after, is the word of mouth.
Right. We have this new store we just brought online, and in the last 7 days, we've generated over 50 five-star Google reviews for that store. I mean, it's just not that hard to present a really great product that people love. I want to talk here before we run out of time, though. Sure. Let's talk about the future of laundry. One of the things that I always emphasize is that I feel, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, so I'd love some feedback on this, that the laundry business is recession and inflation resistant. What do you think?
Well, they've been saying that same sentence, and you've hit it right on the head again, for decades. And when the chips are down, guess what? People are at the laundry.
Right.
And then when the chips are up and everyone's doing well, guess what? Then you've got to think of other ways to keep that business going. And guess what? The wash, dry, fold. You've just hit an area, if you're doing wash, dry, fold, for people that have a washer and dryer and have a two-car garage and have a college education, they just don't want to do laundry. I don't like to do laundry. I
hate it.
But if I can take it and drop it off and someone will have it all nice and pressed and ironed for me, hey, great. I'll pick that up and I'll pay for that service. You pay for the biggie fry or the biggie drink. Well, you know, there's things people want to pay for. And that's one of them that more and more people are going, I don't want to do laundry. I don't want to. You think of the influx now of, you see landscapers and yard workers. Used to be everyone was proud to do their own yard. I'm going to mow my yard. I'm proud. Now it's like, I'm not doing, I'm hiring that. I got, my time is valuable.
Right.
And so put value on your time. And that's why you see the wash, dry, fold is doing so well.
It really is. Yeah. And this goes back to just the continued specialization of people within their niches. It's like, The same thing holds true for me. You hit it on the head. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I'm like, I'm no longer mowing my lawn. This makes no sense to me to go out on a Saturday and spend 2 hours mowing my grass when it's like, well, I could spend 2 hours building our laundry business or any of our other commercial real estate businesses and have a far greater return on my time than pushing more around.
Maybe it's me. I take the 2 hour nap on a Saturday, right. Let me relax. People want to, enjoy some time off for a while. And that's not where it's at. The laundry also is not where, do you really want to have to spend all that time doing it? More and more people are saying, no, I'll take it somewhere. As long as it's cool, clean and comfortable and reputable. That's not going to happen in these little small, dumpy little laundries.
It's really
you build it, they will come.
You build it, they will come. That's so true. Yeah. I always make the joke. One of the stores we just bought, the five closest stores to this one that we're remodeling, I wouldn't wash my dog in, let alone go
take the bad ones.
It's like, okay, we have nothing but unlimited opportunity and upside. So I really love the idea. I didn't know that was really something you've been saying for, since coin laundries or just laundry.
Oh, it's been around for a while, but you hear that and people hear it, but you still have to have the eagerness and the finances to get into the business.
Right.
And it's a great bit. And you were right when you said, hey, think of how many people have a restaurant, mom and pop restaurant, and you see them come and go. This is not going to be the mom and pop come and go investment. Mm-mm. You're not going to see that.
Nope.
And so that kind of weeds out the bad investments. Hopefully. Now, it doesn't mean it weeds out everybody, but then now you've got to make sure you've got the right equipment mix and the right distributor to help.
That's it. I mean, that's it. And we rely heavily on our distributor for making those informed decisions because and one of the things I keep saying to our investor base is that we want to thoughtfully scale. Like as we grow, because you can still buy a bad store. You can still buy a bad location. You can still overbuild, underbuild, wrong payment systems. You can misread it without all of the correct data. And I think that is where a distributor such as yourself really, really comes in and helps guide. And I know you guys are in the business to sell equipment. I understand that. That's how you get paid. But also you build alongside of those that you work with, because if we fail, you fail too. So
part of that is true. Part of that is false. So one of the things that we've said since we've opened our doors is my job isn't to sell you equipment. And you go, well, why? What's that? My job is to make you successful. I can't afford to sell you equipment. And then I'm just talking. And I said, you get you all hopped up to buy equipment and you fail. I can't afford that. I want you successful. And then you're going to tell someone, or you're going to buy another store, or they're going to know, hey, call Mike. This guy really treated me right. I can't afford to fail. So, when we say we're truly behind the customer, from the demographics to the design to, trying to get same or second day service, being in town, we put a strong focus on that. So it's not, hey, let me just make a quick sale. That, we all like to make money, but I like to see you successful. That's our number one goal.
I love it. Mike, thank you for taking the time to come on the show today. It was certainly fun for me to get to banter with somebody else about the laundry business. I don't get to do that every day. We talk a lot about all the other commercial real estate asset classes. And this was personally a lot of fun for me just because it's something we are so passionate about right now. If our listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you or the laundry business, now that they've got a front row seat to how it should be done, what is the best way to do that?
Okay, so a couple of ways. CentralLaundryEquipment.com. That's our website, CentralLaundryEquipment.com. Or you can call our 800 number. We have offices in Central Arkansas and Memphis. That number is 800-467-3194. 800-467-3194. And we'll even send you a couple of, some information about our company. And we've got some great infomercials that will talk to you, and you'll hear from our customers, our manufacturers, our people that have invested in laundries, and people that we've done service for 20, 30 years that will kind of tout who is Central Laundry Equipment.
That is fantastic. We'll make sure we include all of those things there in the show notes. Mike, thank you again for your time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you again.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor,
And subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.